Hey, we want to welcome everybody here tonight. We're really glad everybody's here. Really appreciate everybody coming. I just want to make one quick comment about, you know, we're here tonight to celebrate our city and celebrate our diversity and just celebrate who we are as Jackson citizens and citizens of this great country. This is a time, like I say, we're having to have a good time here and not to protest anything or say anything. Again, it's a celebration, and that's what we're all about here tonight. It's the first time we've done this. I mean, I'm really excited about this. I think it's a great thing that the city's doing. They want to be transparent. They want to, you know, talk about the future, and they want to bring some of the people up that are creating part of our future and helping our future. So if we can do that and respect everybody, that would be fantastic. I'm Rick Walton, and I've been in this town longer probably than about anybody out there because I'm really old. I mean, I remember back when this building right over here was Jury Roll Furniture. I remember the Regent Cafe. I remember the Homemade. I remember when Caldwell Cadillac Pontiac was down the street down there. I remember East Jackson was down there, East Jackson High School. I remember all these things. You know, I grew up in the city. I grew up on Thompson Street. You were there? You were where? Were you at Parkside? I was at Parkside. You were at Parkside? Who are you? I always lived in the city when I was a kid. We never moved outside the city. And I've been in Jackson my whole life. I went away to school, college, worked away for a little while, and then came back to Jackson. So, I mean, I've seen this town when, I think I remember when I was a little kid, didn't we have a trolley car downtown or something like that at one time? I swear we did. Is anybody here that old? I mean, do we have one? I don't remember either. I was back with Tony Dungy, a little bit older than Tony, but back at Parkside in the good old days. But like I said, we got a great city. We think we got some, you know, this building. This is such an incredible building. I don't ever remember that I was ever in this building as a child. I don't think I ever was. I was in the YMCA, which, you know, we're trying to build a new building. I wanted to get that in here and everything else. So to help create this downtown even more so, and the Y touches everybody, so we're on all that. But tonight we've got a group of people. We've got some council members up here, which thank God they're not all talking, you know, because they're politicians. So we're only going to let one of them talk. But we're going to start off this building right here. Where does everything start? It really starts, you know, with a cooperation between government and business, and people that are going to invest in this building, and especially such a cool thing because they want to do it for the kids out here. So we're going to take this building, instead of tear it down, renovate it, spend their money on this building, and create this incredible, what they already have, an incredible institution of, you know, the arts with the kids. And they're going to take this building and even make it more majestic than probably what it was before, because they're going to fill it full of kids. So our first speaker tonight is going to be Kim Curtis. And Kim she's the executive director of Jackson School of the Arts, and she started, I guess, in 2001 is when you started it, and she's got more than 100 classes. I can't believe it. It says art, dance, theater. I've had some of my grandkids in there, all age groups. Could I do it?
Yeah.
I could, because I'm very immature, so I'm still kind of a kid, and you know, they're located right now in the old Armory area down there, and so they're going to take this building and renovate it. She wants to come up here and just talk about some of the things that they're going to do here. And so I'd like you to welcome our first speaker, Kim Curtis.
First, I'd like to say welcome home. Welcome to Jackson's new Center for Creativity, Imagination, and Discovery. Welcome to Jackson's new Downtown Center for the Arts. I think we all agree that this building was worth saving, and in partnership with the city and with all of you, Jackson School of the Arts will breathe life into the Masonic Temple and create an exciting downtown destination. Now, just a little history lesson. In the early 1900s, it became clear that the growing number of Masons in Jackson could not be accommodated in their rented quarters. As their membership grew, so did the need for a building of their own, one dedicated exclusively to their own needs. What a familiar story. In the past few years, it's become crystal clear that with our 2,000% increase in enrollment, we cannot be accommodated where we are now. And so full circle, we're here. Just as the Masons filled this building with activity in the downtown, we'll do the same with year-round programming 7 days a week. That's going to mean a lot of new foot traffic for our downtown. The Masons hired architect Claire Allen to design this building. Allen, as you may know, also designed many of our other iconic buildings in our community, including the post office, which is now part of Consumers Headquarters, and Cascades Manor House. Claire Allen, as a young boy, kept a journal, and he wrote in that journal that he had an active imagination. As a child, he took building blocks and created the city of Rome. How fitting, then, that this building would become a place where all are invited to discover the power of imagination. Last year, and especially in the years ahead, we'll celebrate our downtown's revitalization by putting shovels in the ground on a variety of new building projects. I think you've seen a lot of them around the room. So while we celebrate the new, it is equally important to embrace historic preservation. This is smart community planning, because the greenest building is the one that's already been built. If this place could talk, imagine the stories that we'd hear. When the Masons were here, the second floor was a club room and was used for smoking and relaxation. On these floors right here, the Junior Dorcas Society hosted sweater dances on Friday night. Admission was 25 cents. If these walls could talk, we'd hear stories of Lynn Vermeulen and his father, Link, planning for future expansion of their business. In just a very short time, you'll hear a lot of new stories. Stories about children learning through science and the arts on field trips. You'll hear stories told by millennials who came here and took salsa lessons and then walked a block over for chips and salsa and probably some margaritas. We'll hear stories about teens who developed leadership skills, stories about the exhibits you'll see right up here in what will be an art gallery, and stories about the performances that'll take place right on this stage. Stories that remind us again and again that Jackson is a great place to live, work, and play, and that the arts and culture are central to that. Tonight is all about celebrating vision and embracing potential. Potential that's only realized when we work together for children, for families, for community, and for Jackson. So I welcome you to this new old place, a place that now, because of a shared vision, will continue to impact our community for generations to come. Thank you.
I think the next guest we're bringing up, I'm not sure he's going to be able to come up. I think his voice is bothering him a little bit, so I'll do the invocation, Pastor, for you. No, we've got here Pastor Hines with us tonight, an old friend of mine, and he's a pastor at Lilly Missionary Church. He's moved to Jackson in the 1980s. He's won the Liberty Award, the Martin Luther King Award, the Citizen of the Year Award, and is currently writing two books about his life and his faith. And if you knew Pastor Hines, I never knew his father, but I knew about his father, was an amazing, amazing story. I think you need to ask Pastor Hines to think what he did with his family, how he raised those kids, and was a pastor himself, and I don't believe ever was able to read. Amazing, amazing story to think what this man did. So, Pastor Hines, come on up and give us all inspiration.
Well, we set on another day that would forever change the lives of those who's coming behind us. Let us pray. Our God and the God of all people, the God of the rich, the God of the poor, the faithful and the unfaithful. We've come here today to celebrate our great city, our mayor, and all public officials, and to share in the power of vision that is inclusive for all. These are troubled times, O God. Too many lives have been destroyed. Tensions are high, O God. Grief and anger and hopelessness for too long have been the story of the day. But I believe better days are coming when all voices will be heard and included. White, black, Jew, and Gentile. On this day, bless our city and its leaders. Bless our citizens, those who live in comfort and in fear. Help us to look deep into ourselves that we may atone for our own sins. God, help us to help each other. Help us to live a life that will speak about your goodness to all mankind. We ask your blessing on our city this day, this nation, and this world. And the people of God said amen.
I was going to say that, and all the people say amen, I tell you. You stealing my lines again there, brother? Thank you so much. Really. Okay, next up, we've got a pirate here with us tonight. You know, she came from Napoleon, and she was a Napoleon pirate out there. So one of our own areas, ladies, first woman president of NCEO of Consumers Energy, worked, I know, for DTE at one time, and he worked for somebody else, too, in there. General Motors, didn't he? He worked for General Motors, that's right. So I know that everybody's excited about when Patty Poppe was elected to president, and we're all excited about that, too, and what Consumers means to all of us, because obviously Consumers is extremely important to this community, and in any big event, Consumers in some way is connected to it. So please welcome Patty Poppe.
Well, I am humbled to be here tonight. I am from the suburbs, Napoleon. But I was so honored when the mayor invited me to participate. So thank you to the city council and the mayor for allowing me to participate and share some of what I see as the future and the potential for Jackson. You know, when I grew up in Jackson, my dad retired from Consumers, so we were a Jackson family, and coming to town was a big deal. And I would come to town for to practice with the Jackson Youth Symphony Orchestra. I played the French horn, and I would also come to Jackson to study at the Downtown District Library, our beautiful Carnegie Library. And I would come to go to church at St. John's. And I loved calling Jackson home. But as a young person during those times, I thought my future was somewhere else. And so I went off to college, and I left our town. And I came back for one summer. I worked at Kelsey Hayes across the street from the All-Star Dairy. It's not there. And so, you know, there were times, and during that time, I think a lot of people started to think that Jackson's brightest days were behind us. And I went off to pursue my career, and I worked for General Motors and then DTDE, and I truly believe, by the grace of God, was invited to come back home and join the Consumers Energy family. It was the greatest opportunity of my life. And when I came home, after living all over the world and seeing and traveling, I saw Jackson through a fresh set of eyes. And I saw the potential and the future that was possible here for all people. And I knew as a major employer that we were going to need to attract the best and brightest. Now, I like the golf courses and the lakes of Jackson County, but the kind of people that we're trying to recruit and attract want a vibrant downtown urban setting. Not to replace the people who are there, but to add to the color and the fabric and the magic of what happens in a vibrant downtown, to add richness to all people who live there. And so we had the idea of creating the Anchor Initiative. And with 16 other companies, we came together to create an environment where we could, as business leaders, invest locally, live locally, and innovate locally. And so the Consumers Energy team put our money where our mouth was. And we bought the Woolworth building, and with the help of Mercer and Associates, we completely restored that building into a community space where great ideas can happen, where people can gather and dream big and imagine a different future for Jackson. We also purchased the Jackson Gas Plant, and the employees who work there are now part of the Consumers Energy family. Every single person moved over to the Consumers Energy team when we purchased that plant. And then to simple things that we can do was our walk on Friday, our walk for warmth, where my coworkers and I hit the streets all across the state, but our biggest walk is right here in our hometown of Jackson, where we raised over $30,000 on Friday to help people with their heating bills, because we know that this has been an incredibly cold winter. And it is unacceptable to us to imagine a family having to choose between their medicine or their rent or keeping their children safe and warm. And we believe it is our duty to make sure that that does not happen on our watch and that we are able to be part of the solution. And that's because we subscribe to what we refer to as our triple bottom line, not just the bottom line. We believe a company must stand for more than profits. Our company can make a huge difference right here in Michigan. And so perhaps it's not just what we invest and what we spend and perhaps what we raise in dollars, but most importantly, it's what we do to help people save their own dollars so they have choices about how their family can live. And so, did you know, a couple facts. Did you know that Jackson is the fourth most energy efficient small town in America? Number four. Amen. And I'd like to thank my friends and co-workers at Consumers had a little something to do with that, with our energy efficiency programs. And did you know that Consumers Energy was named in the top 10 greenest companies of any companies in the nation? Did you know? Thank you. And did you know that we were named the most sustainable utility in the nation, number one in the nation? That's your hometown team. And thank you. And it's not because we just make idle promises or give good speeches. It's because we put our money and our heart where our message is. And our message around energy and the future for our planet is one where, and we just announced, in fact, just this week, we announced that the company has committed to continue our journey to reduce our environmental impact. We are an energy company, and we can be a force for good, or we can do damage to our environment and our planet. We believe that we should leave it better than we found it. And we have committed to reducing our carbon emissions by 80%, eliminating coal from our generating fleet by 2040. We are already, thank you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it's a big deal because it's a decade ahead of international scientists' recommendations for preventing climate change. We are a decade ahead by making our commitments, and we're already almost halfway there. We've already made the changes, which is why we were named one of the greenest companies in the country and why we're named as so sustainable, because our actions match it. We've made 5-year commitments to reduce 1 billion gallons of water and to reduce 35% of our landfill waste, and to restore 5,000 acres in Michigan back to its original habitat. We're doing all these things because we live here too. We are a corporate citizen who believes in our triple bottom line of serving the people. That means all of you, our customers and our coworkers and our communities. We believe we can serve the planet and we can contribute to and create opportunities for prosperity for all. And that is our mission. And so as I take the big planet impact of reducing our carbon emissions, and when we look at our big impact of eliminating coal from our generating fleet and switching to 40% renewable energy, we want Jackson to be rightly recognized for the role that Jackson will play in making that vision come to fruition. So I am so happy to announce tonight that we are going to create a smart energy district in Jackson. Now, there are a handful of these smart energy districts across the country. This will be a showcase of technology, the latest energy supply with solar, battery storage, microgrids, underground lines. We can absolutely build out the smartest energy technologies that will be the enablers, not just for a showplace, but the enablers of our commitment to the planet to come true. And it will be engineered, designed, and implemented right here by our hometown team. Your friends, our families, and our neighbors. And thanks to Patrick Birch's vision, he's got these architectural renderings, and you'll see the buildings in the Energy District. The Energy District will be flanked by Blackstone and Jackson and Glick and Michigan Ave. That will be the district. And all of the developments that will be going on there, and you see all the renderings, it's a spectacular vision. You will see solar panels on the roofs. You'll see the highest LEED certified energy efficiency implementations in these buildings. We're going to be doing what we refer to as our virtual energy engineering services in all of these buildings. So when Commonwealth moves their engineering center downtown, they have an incredible group of smart engineers who are known worldwide. Our Commonwealth and Associates organization is known worldwide for their engineering capability, and they're going to be right downtown. When we redevelop the Hayes Hotel, right downtown, not to tear it down, Kim, I loved what you said, the most efficient construction and the most environmentally friendly construction is to renovate these gorgeous, beautiful buildings that we call home. And so when I think about the future of Jackson, I do not believe that our greatest days were in days gone by. I believe our brightest and best days are yet to come. And on behalf of all your friends, your families, your neighbors, my coworkers, we will be with you every step of the way. Jackson, you can count on us.
That's great, Patty. But can you bring back the Ritzy and the Record Hut that was downtown before in the bowling alley?
What'd you say?
The Ritzy. Remember the Ritzy little hamburger place down there by the Capitol Theater?
Too young.
Now you make me feel bad. Tell ya. That's great. And we're fortunate to have a company like that in this community. We are, really are fortunate to have them. Next up, we have to bring the mayor up here. We have to bring a politician up here, you know, and everything else out here. I'd be a politician, too, but I don't like chicken that much, you know. I just couldn't go to all those meetings with that chicken there, I tell you. But, no, we've got our 71st mayor, 71. That's pretty amazing. You think 71st mayor, how is that possible? Originally comes from the 6th Ward, I guess you did. 2011, you came on the board. So we expect big things. You know, and what you say, we're writing them down. Because we're holding you accountable, I'll tell you right now. That's right. So I'm tired of politicians saying things and not doing them. So we're watching you. So, but let's welcome our next mayor, Derek Tobias.
All right. Tested this out before. Well, welcome, and thank you, Rick, for the warm welcome and for everything that you do for the city. We asked Rick to MC this event because of his enthusiasm, his passion, his dedication to the community, to the city, to the downtown, And we really look forward to seeing all your successes with the new YMCA. Look around. There is such a great diversity in this room of different backgrounds, experiences, viewpoints, from presidents and CEOs of prominent local businesses to leaders of local nonprofits working to improve public health, fight poverty, trying to give people a leg up. It's very encouraging. I'd like to first recognize someone who's encouraged me, stood by me through it all, and sacrificed so much to allow me to be here today, my lovely wife, First Lady of Jackson, Danielle, back in the back, with our daughter, Novalee. It was her birthday yesterday. I won't reveal her age, but make sure to wish her a happy birthday. Some of you probably don't know this, but Pastor Hines was one of the first people I spoke to about running for mayor. We spoke about our opportunity, for the city to lead in combating poverty, inequality, discrimination. And he said something that stuck with me, that sometimes we're called to stand when it may be easier to sit, and reminded me who we're fighting for the outcast, the suffering, the desperate and destitute. So thank you to the people's pastor, my pastor, someone I'm proud to call my friend and mentor, Pastor Hines, for delivering the invocation and always knowing the right words to say. So. Thank you to the city staff who planned and executed this event, who work every day to rebuild our city, and to our city manager, Patrick Birch. He's probably hiding here somewhere. One of the smartest, most capable, and compassionate managers the city has probably ever known. Can the city manager and the rest of the city staff please stand and be recognized? Thank you. Next, I'd like to recognize a few other leaders who are working to rebuild the city, protect our residents, grow our local economy. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in thanking some of the Jackson City Council members. Councilman Freddie Dancy. He's really shy, folks. Councilman Jeremy Alexander. Councilmember Craig Pappin. Councilman from this ward, Andy Fraunfelker. Councilwoman Colleen Sullivan. And last but not least, Councilwoman and Vice Mayor Arlene Robinson. It's a privilege to be able to serve with each and every one of you. Will all the other elected officials and appointed officials and former elected officials please rise and be recognized for your service? State Representative Julie Alexander, thank you. And finally, I'd like to thank someone who I've really grown to admire as a leader, a business person, a tireless advocate for Jackson, Patty Poppy. It's no secret I'm one of those new millennials that moved into the city. I bought my first house here a shade under a decade ago. First got elected to city council in 2011, and since then I've witnessed a lot of positive changes in our city, from the redevelopment of our downtown to the engagement of our business community to the leadership of Consumers Energy in prioritizing projects to improve our urban core. And I don't want to mince words. Jackson would not be positioned for the renaissance that we are without the leadership of Patty Poppy. So, Patty, on behalf of Jackson, thank you. And that's why we're excited to have Patty here tonight. As city leaders, we understand that the success of our city and the success of our local economy, our local businesses, are delicately intertwined. Collaborations like the Anchor Initiative are the embodiment of that realization, using private sector efforts to transform our downtown and our city. To date, scores of local businesses, both inside and outside the city, have joined the Anchor Initiative to support Jackson by aggregating and leveraging their respective purchasing, hotel, residency, retail rental, or recruitment needs. It's a new way of looking collaboratively to solve some of the systemic problems that we face. And I believe it's a new way of looking at our city. We're a county seat. We're the county seat, the biggest city in the metro area for 45 miles no matter what direction you drive. 45 minutes no matter what direction you drive. There's over 33,000 people living here that call our city home. Any given day, there's 50,000 people working in our city. And from Ella Sharp to other great parks, the Hearst Planetarium, the Ella Sharp Park Museum, and other great attractions, the Hot Air Jubilee, the Civil War Muster, and all the other events throughout the year, it's clear that our city is a great place to play. That's it. Jackson is a great place to live, work, and play. We have every tool at our disposal, every opportunity to ferment a new renaissance, to lead our region in building the economy of tomorrow, to make Jackson a place where new families want to settle. We're here tonight because we believe it's time to turn a new page on the perceptions of the past. It's time to set a new tone, to shed the stigma and push beyond the patronizing politics of the past and set a clear vision for our city's future, to make plain the problems that we face and the policies, projects, and programs from which they are solved as a community on behalf of not only the residents and businesses that are currently here, but those that we're trying to attract. This may look new, and it may feel like change. And it is. Changing how we speak, changing how we act, that's how we're going to continue to rebuild our city. I'm excited to work with the City Council up here to lead our city in that endeavor. We have a lot of work to do. Just look around this room. We chose to have our inaugural State of the City in the historic Masonic Temple to illustrate one thing. Progress. City leadership decided that we can no longer sit on the sidelines and wait for our city to improve. We must act, get our hands dirty, invest in our own vision, and have the fortitude to see it through. Last year, largely through the philanthropy of Lynn Vermeulen, City Council acquired this building and began its rehabilitation to build an art and cultural hub downtown. In the coming years, we'll see a historic transformation of this building. And you'll see the Jackson School of the Arts moving in and calling it home. Over the past few years, we've made it a point to invest in public art. We've created the Jackson Public Arts Commission, and with the support of local foundations and businesses, they've refinished and preserved the iconic Summer Night Tree sculpture. They've leveraged state and federal grants to house the Glenn Parker mural inside the newly minted CP Federal City Square. And we've supported these projects because as city leaders, we understand that beyond its intrinsic value, art can have a true value in promoting healthy economic development. That's why in the coming year, we'll look to the Public Arts Commission to lead on the creation of a revolving sculpture initiative, an effort to rent and place art sculptures in key areas throughout our entire downtown. We'll look to businesses, foundations, private individuals to raise the money permanently to place those sculptures there, and we'll use that money to seed another sculpture and another one, and so on. Art brings us together as a community. It engages us, it asks us to think, it broadens and deepens our understanding, to consider different perspectives and to challenge our own. It's that mindset that inspires us to explore new possibilities. It's a mindset that emboldens us to challenge the status quo, to test our notions and belief of what's possible. And for those wondering what's been happening downtown, that inspiration is your answer. We believe that Jackson can be a great city. We believe we can have higher standards, nice things. As a city council, we've committed ourselves to fostering a vibrant downtown. We know that just as the city is the core of the county body, our downtown is the beating heart that provides our metro area with the lifeblood it needs to grow. Young professionals, millennials, and new families are looking to live in culturally vibrant, rich urban cores. Downtowns with local daily amenities, with cool senses of places, cities where live, work, and play all uniquely intersect. These professionals are the talent that cities must attract and nurture to survive in a 21st century economy. But to attract the businesses and residents of tomorrow means that we have to rebuild our city to that end today. We have to make our city marketable. When you're selling your house, you invest in the upgrades that sell. Rehabbing bathrooms, remodeling kitchens, putting up new paint, installing new eye-grabbing landscaping. So too with cities, with Jackson. Working with bold leaders like Mindy Brady-Shorta, the Jackson Chamber of Commerce, and the Anchor Initiative will also be crucial to that success. Together, we commissioned a market analysis showing that demographics are shifting and that people want to live in rich, vibrant urban cores. It advised that we target investment to maximize and spur revitalization, to focus on the renovation of old buildings, attracting amenities like grocery stores, hotels, building out community social spaces, riverfront access, non-motorized paths, and public transit. It showed an annual potential of some 270 units per year over the next 5 years, varying incomes of new buildouts. That's why in the last 6 years, we've invested more than $9 million in rebuilding our downtown roads, redesigned Michigan Ave, converted Washington and Louis Glick to two-way traffic, and added a significant number of new parking spaces, bump outs, and street trees. That activity has spurred local commercial development. We've seen a 25% increase in projects and a nearly six-fold increase in construction value for newer remodeled commercial buildings, from just $6 million in 2011 to nearly $40 million last year. Value is building in Jackson, that's for sure, and there's more on the horizon. In the last year, city staff and the Planning Commission have supported over 20 major projects around town. Some recently completed that you've seen, like Potbelly's. Sorry, my daughter's walking down the thing back there. Potbelly's, JD Auto, Dr. Martin's Clinic, and others in progress, like IHOP, Elm Plating, Jackson Tumble and Finish, and other building renovations and site updates. In the coming year, you'll see a new 350 to 400 space parking structure coming downtown as a result of a collaborative agreement between the city and the Jackson District Library. That deck will support a number of other projects. Projects like the 11-story Hayes Hotel, led by the experience of Shannon Morgan, Vice President of Home Renewal Systems. They're planning to build 42 market-rate residential units, work with local developers to construct 78 hotel rooms, a restaurant, office space. Look for construction on that downtown Keystone starting in the summer of this year. We'll see other projects like the four-story Lofts on Lewis, bringing 30 market-rate units downtown and 9,000 square feet of commercial space with the hopes of landing our first downtown urban grocery store. With fearless drive of Nick Dyke and local entrepreneur John Burka, we look forward to cutting the ribbon on that this spring. Another development, the four-story Smartopolis building with 78 to 80 market-rate units, under-building parking, and 3,000 square feet of commercial space where the Old Country Club, the Old Comedy Club, and Tire Shop used to be. Dirt's going to be turning on that come spring. It's projects like this that are creating the environment to locate even more jobs downtown. Like the recent news of Commonwealth bringing 300 jobs downtown with a new three-story, 90,000 square foot building. These are just some of the projects that are helping, some of the projects we're helping to support with incentives, development expertise, and collaborative partnerships. These projects total some $75 million in private investment in just about 1.5 acres downtown. Many of you have seen construction begin. Others have seen drawings and renderings of these units. And some, witnessing the success, express concerns of gentrification, displacement. They foreshadow the trajectory of other communities on a rush to revitalize, to grow, to scale. To be clear, we hear you. We understand. And there's no vision of Jackson that does not include space for a variety of incomes, experiences, and ages. That's why we're making it a point to also incent and promote the development of low to moderate income LIHTC units within our downtown loop. Some will be large-scale buildouts. In early 2019, you'll see Miller Valentine move forward on a residential senior loft project on Francis between Wesley and Franklin. As a MISHTA LIHTC project, thank you, Oropolsky. It'll place 49 units in a four-story senior low-to-mod income building. You'll see the city continue to support General Capital's lofts project, the rehab of the three-story former Citizen Patriot building on South Jackson between Washington and Cortland. They aim to add 73 low-to-moderate income units as a MISHTA LIHTC project, and the project currently also includes 8 live-work units bordering Cortland Street and 2,000 square foot of shop space. But not every project coming downtown is on such scale. We're seeing small mixed-use projects like 151 West Michigan and 163 West Pearl that will have the combined potential to serve 9 low to mod income families. Similarly, not all these developments are bankrolled by the wealthy or well-connected. Look at 159 West Michigan, the old Huron-Camera building next to City Hall. Inside City Hall, it's called the Lammers Project because, well, Dave Lammers and his partner Denise are developing it. You can't get any more real than Dave Lammers. Hi, Dave. They aren't well-heeled developers. Hell, Dave's an electrician, a laborer, a former union steward. For the past 20 years, he and his wife have owned a successful hair studio and spa, and they're bringing it downtown to Jackson. Dave is building out 5 residential lofts, and at least 3 will be available to low-mod income families. Dave and Denise are just regular people who see opportunity and excitement here in downtown Jackson. These developers are our partners, and as partners, they'll bring cool places to the city, catwalks spanning across roadways. You'll see new dog parks going in downtown, new outdoor fireplaces as gathering spaces for downtown tenants. As a city, we'll continue to create these places. You'll see us work to make downtown a hot spot for activity by connecting our trail systems, exploring partnerships with the county on a DNR grant to build 3 kayak launches along the Grand River. We'll put public bathrooms in downtown to make it more pedestrian friendly. And while we're rebuilding downtown, we'll also commit ourselves to building a cleaner, greener city. 1 week ago today, after years of attempts, the City Council created an Environmental Commission. This advisory board will make recommendations to the Council on environmental policy, issues and implications of city programs to better improve the quality of our air, water, and land, and improve public health. It's clear we must modernize our waste systems, enhance our recycling operations, integrate green technologies for our infrastructure, transportation, and conservation. The Commission will help us become more efficient, reduce costs, explore new funding opportunities, and join with community partners on keystone projects to underscore our commitment to sustainability. Partners like Consumers Energy and their groundbreaking plans to create a smart energy district right here in the heart of their hometown. We've got some great work started here, started downtown. You can see some of that energy and vision on the boards around the room here. Nobody can doubt we've built some very positive momentum. But as I listened to people during last year's campaign, there was a common message, and it was this. People said, we really like what's happening downtown, but when are we going to see some progress out in our neighborhoods? Let me tell you this. That effort is already underway. Part of what we're going to be doing over the next few years is working to take the energy and momentum that we've built downtown and bring it out into the neighborhoods. That means extending that progress out beyond the loop and along Michigan Avenue, out through the major arterial streets from our downtown. Those are the first projects you'll see develop. The reconstruction of Kibbe Road, of Cooper from Ganson, all the way to the expressway, where we will support reconstruction of the I-94 bridges at Cooper and Elm. Those will be slick looking, stamped with concrete, branded, and flanked with new roundabouts to serve as a welcoming first impression to our city. From there, we'll take that excitement into our local streets, our neighborhoods. That's why you've seen the city invest in improving the condition and diversity of our housing stock. First, we had to work to clean it up. In the last 6 years, we've removed over 900 dilapidated, blighted structures from our city, from our neighborhoods, over 2,000 unsafe housing units, many of which were functionally and financially obsolete. An independent analysis on a parcel-by-parcel basis showed that the city's demolition efforts have stabilized our neighborhoods by preserving over $30 million in property values. For every dollar spent on a home demolition in Jackson, $4 was preserved in home values. The city recently received a $250,000 grant from MSHDA to continue this important work, and in 2018, we'll demolish an additional 25 structures in 2 target areas in our city. But we know that demolition is only the first part of stabilizing our neighborhoods. Yes, we need to equalize our supply and our demand, and then we need to build out the range of housing stock that we currently lack. That involves building out the hundreds of new living units currently underway downtown, but it also means continuing to raise the standards of the existing housing stock. Since 2011, we've used our inspection programs to improve the condition of our neighborhoods through reinvestment, registering and inspecting over 5,700 units across town. Those inspectors also do some of the most important work in the city, the dirty work, issuing over 2,600 violations just last year for blight and garbage, dismantled vehicles, noxious and overgrown weeds, and other violations of our code to help clean up our city. We've seen that work paying off. Our permitting process shows that we've seen a 57% increase in permitting for residential projects, 150% increase in construction value for newer remodeled residential homes and buildings, from just $2 million in 2011 to $5 million just last year. And there's more on the horizon. While we stabilized our housing market, it's time to mobilize our neighborhoods and expedite that recovery. This year, we'll work with the Planning Commission to come up with a plan for our vacant lots, whether they're sold off to private owners, reverted to green space, held for future development, or put to more creative uses like pocket parks or community gardens. We also want to empower citizens to identify problems and solutions specific to their neighborhoods. Other successful cities like Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids have very strong, active neighborhood associations. In Jackson, we've seen some early successes in groups like the B2 Area Watchers and the Queens Area Neighborhood Watch. This year, we'll put forward ordinances to formalize, develop, and strengthen neighborhood associations and to empower residents and businesses to organize and mobilize for change, block by block. Working with neighborhood leaders, we'll put resources right into the hands of you, the residents. We can encourage neighbors to meet one another, to engage in city affairs, and to be the eyes on the ground to help us in reporting, solving, and ultimately deterring crime. And let's be clear. Crime exists in Jackson. It's caused some of us to reconsider investments, to consider moving away, to be fearful for the safety of our own children walking down the street. And here's what I want to say about crime. Statistically, over the past 5 years, the city has seen a 16% decrease in crimes like homicide, rape, assault, robbery, burglary, and theft. In fact, the city saw a 5% decrease from just 2016 to 2017. That's good news. Other felonies and misdemeanor crimes have dropped 2% since 2013, and total crime over this period has dropped 13%. That's also a good trajectory. Now, despite the overall drop in crime, the city did see an increase in 2017 in the number of confirmed shooting incidents, a spike of 14%. Five of the incidents resulted in the death of the shooting victim, and anyone paying attention, the last number felt that statistic. Since then, with a group of community stakeholders led by Lee Hampton, we've hosted community meetings and smaller intimate sessions to address the violence in our community. The Gun Violence Task Force has prepared a number of new solutions, ranging from expanding recreational employment opportunities for our youth to increasing diversity within City Hall, and doing better to improve the relationship with the city police and the community. Myself, Director Hitt, City Manager Patrick Birch, Vice Mayor Robinson, Councilmember Dancy, others have attended these meetings to begin to reflect these solutions within city operations. And some have already been long-term plans of our city manager, and he's already begun their planning and implementation. But we'll also work to address other public safety challenges that we face. It's no secret that the opiate epidemic has been a continuing problem in the city of Jackson. First responders regularly respond to overdose victims. Investigative efforts are continuing to identify prospective suppliers. The city is actively engaged with community stakeholders, and the police participate in the Jackson County Task Force on Heroin and Prescription Abuse. We'll continue to support the vision and efforts of organizations like the Home of New Vision and the Jackson Area Recovery Community, who are not only fighting addiction and overdose prevention, but are working to provide services to aid in successful recovery, and providing education and awareness campaigns so that we can challenge the negative stigmas associated with victims of substance use disorders. We'll continue to improve public safety by supporting new projects and programs. This year, the police department begins to implement a body camera program to modernize our policing operations, improve transparency and accountability, and help in criminal investigations. We'll also continue to support the police cadet program, a program aimed at resourcing police officers from our own community. City administration is exploring how we can bolster this program by offering cadets a full-time job with benefits, tuition at Jackson College, and funding through the police academy. Next fiscal year, we'll also explore adding two additional police cadets to enhance our safety efforts. We're also going to take a look at what can be done to enhance regional fire suppression and emergency response services here in the city. The fire department responded to over 4,700 calls in 2017. That's approximately a 7% increase on the 10-year average. That's a lot of wear and tear on our guys and our equipment. That's why the fire department has received the authorization to purchase a new $1.1 million ladder truck, which has been ordered and is anticipated to pull into Jackson in early 2019. That's also when 9 of the firefighters hired on their SAFER grant program are set to expire. That's why this year we hope to work with the Jackson Fire Department to build on the partnerships with surrounding municipalities and explore what the future of firefighting looks like in Jackson County by exploring those regional partnerships. We know that by working together, we can better protect the businesses and residents that we serve and improve public safety. We also know that we can improve public safety by investing in our infrastructure. We're already investing more in our roads than we have in past years. You can see that work in our downtown streets like the newly rebuilt Michigan Avenue. In fact, last year we spent $5.8 million in street reconstruction and engineering projects alone. Adding in water and sewer investments makes that $8.5 million. In 2018, this year, you're going to see a very busy engineering department. Sorry, John. And a lot of orange barrels. We'll essentially be doubling the amount of construction projects and expenditures on street milling, resurfacing, and other engineering projects. Our estimated street project expenditures this year are $11.5 million, nearly double last year. In total, we'll be doing $17.2 million worth of street, water, and sewer work just this year. We'll upgrade our infrastructure with our own enterprise funds as well, beginning a $1.4 million construction project for UV disinfection at the wastewater treatment plant to modernize our processes, improve worker safety, and better protect our environment. With feedback from citizens, we'll also continue to improve streetlights. We're excited to begin a number of projects to improve neighborhood lighting and safety, among them Morrell Street, Adrian Street, the lights along MLK Trail, at Loomis Park, Exchange Park, and Partnership Park. While we plan for a comprehensive streetlight plan, we'll also work on a plan to adequately fund, repair, and maintain our streets. Nearly 60% of them are in complete disrepair or need some degree of major substantial repair. That's why I've asked Councilmember Colleen Sullivan to lead a task force of city and community leaders to bring a long-term road funding solution to City Council. This is an important issue for all parts of the city, and we have full confidence that Colleen has the passion and drive to see this through. The impact of our roads extends to all populations, rich and poor. Think about it. If you're living in poverty and you blow a tire and can't make it to work, you could lose your job and set in motion other dire consequences. Think about all the maintenance and repair costs that those living in poverty have to suffer if they're lucky enough to have a car because they must travel on pothole-infested roads. Looking at roads and city infrastructure through the lens of poverty is unique. It's one of the eye-opening experiences from the nonprofit network's Bridges Out of Poverty training I attended with Councilmember Dancy. Trainings like that are important to enhancing our understanding of the people that we serve and the problems that they face. And here's the hard truth. 36% of the city of Jackson lives under the federal poverty level. 36%. That's more than double the rate in our surrounding metro area and double the rate in Michigan. More than half, some 52% of our children are living in poverty. Our median household income is just $28,000 a year. These are haunting numbers, but we shouldn't be scared of them. We must shed light on our very darkest of problems if we hope to solve them, and it's time our city turns its attention to this problem, poverty. Fighting poverty should be in the context of everything that we do as a city. We should seek to build a city where no one gets left out and nobody gets left behind. That begins with understanding. That's why each and every city employee is going through the Bridges Out of Poverty training and the Government Alliance on Race and Equity training to increase our understanding of and our commitment to racial equality and the role that we can play in advancing it. For the past number of years, Councilman Dancy and I have represented the city on the Financial Stability Network, a group of 40-plus organizations led by Toby Budberry and Regina Funkhauser. The group works to combat the root causes of poverty and build financial stability through a systems change approach. We'll continue to work with these community leaders to build the programs, policies, and projects to confront poverty and give people living in poverty a fighting chance to change their lives. Whether it be working with Richard Thune and the County Health Department on combating childhood lead poisoning, and the fact that Jackson County leads the state in childhood lead poisoning due to paint. That's unacceptable. On a heat map, you can see the relationship between lead poisoning and poverty. It's clear. This year, the city will work to overhaul and refresh our website to ensure that it connects our residents with the city services that they need. And we'll explore new partnerships with the Jackson District Library to close the digital divide, use technology to drive social equality, and give people access to the knowledge they need to learn the new skills to grow their own businesses through a fast, fair, and open internet. We'll work with Mike Brown and the rest of the Jackson Area Transportation Authority to modernize public transit in our city because we know that only with a strong transit system can we help connect people to the resources and opportunities they need to improve their lives. And that's where the city is proud to announce our newest project at the old Vermeulen's building right behind us here, thanks in part to Lynn Vermeulen for recognizing the location this afforded to the Jackson community. There, next to the JATA transfer station, we hope to incent a new urban market area so that people from all over the city, from the south side, can easily access fresh, healthy foods through our transit system. We're also building out a 13,000-square-foot commercial kitchen space so that entrepreneurs in culinary arts can launch and scale their small businesses. And we'll also build out another commercial kitchen and incubator storefront to serve as a prize for a new competition we hope to bring to Jackson. By now, I'm sure most of us know that Patty Poppy's energy goes far beyond talk of solar panels. One of her ideas is to bring an art prize type festival to Jackson. I love it. But think, instead of art, food. As mayor, I'm happy to put my mind and my stomach to work on this creative idea and work with the rest of City Council to make this a reality. The idea is to award the new kitchen and incubator storefront space to the winner of that competition. They'll be able to incubate their business in that space for a year. Works? Yeah. Look, we're excited to build, to explore grocery stores, incubators, other creative social spaces, because this work is about building opportunity through building community. And we're going to build a city with the input of every single one of us, old and young. I truly mean that. This year, we'll work with the Jackson Public Schools and partners in the education community to form a youth commission that can advise the city council on the future growth, asking young people, high schoolers, what do they want to see in the city? What would encourage them to stay? If we're going to grow our population, that means also making it responsive to the people that currently live here. That's why we'll also work with local and state leaders at AARP to make Jackson certified as an age-friendly community, a program that helps cities prepare for a rapidly aging population. We want Jackson to be a great place for everyone to live, work, and play, young and old, each and every one of us. And I'll tell you why that's more important now than ever. We live in a time where top elected leaders openly embrace a rhetoric of hate, intolerance, and division. That encourages and emboldens racist bigots and those who seek to divide us to emerge, to poison the values and the solidarity that makes us great, that makes this city great. It causes us to recall what leadership actually means. Last year, in that toxic environment, this city, Jackson, took a stand. As a community, we resolved to pass the non-discrimination ordinance and build a more tolerant, inclusive city. A city that views diversity as a strength. We shouldn't allow anyone, not even the most powerful among us here in Jackson County, to stand in the way of that progress. As public servants, the city will continue to lead in combating poverty, inequality, and discrimination. We'll stand beside the outcast, lift up the weak, and give voice to the voiceless. We should also make it a point to celebrate our diversity. By partnering with Ella Sharp Museum to tell a civil rights story along the Martin Luther King Jr. Equality Trail, or working to commemorate Dr. King with a new street name. With Vice Mayor Arlene Robinson's leadership, we can give the King Center the renovations it needs to truly be a community center for the South Side. We'll continue to build a city that works for all of us, rich or poor, black or white, young or old, Democrat or Republican, whether you are gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, this is your city. And if you love Jackson, Jackson will love you back. I'm so honored to be your mayor. I'm proud to work with the rest of City Council in leading and creating the vision that we've laid out today. But most importantly, I'm excited to collaborate with each and every one of you to help Jackson reach its true potential and be a great place for all of us to call home. Let us come together, work together, and build a city that works for all of us. This is our moment. This is our renaissance. Thank you.
Good job, Derek. But my watch kept saying to me, stand up and breathe. Good stuff. Hey, Patrick Birch, they said some nice things about Patrick Birch over here tonight. But I played softball with this guy for 5 years, and I've seen him run across a base, fall flat on his face, and it's just, he's not the guy you think he is, really. That's right. No, we still love you, Patrick, no doubt. Our last speaker of the night is Arlene Robinson. And Arlene, I know you're from the First Ward. I know you've been here since 2013 on the City Council. I know you run a branch for a bank, and you also are head of the NAACP. I didn't want to see the NCAA. You know, I get them mixed up on that. And I know you're a nice person. I really don't know you as well as ever, but I do everything I ever hear about is, what about this lady, you know? And they say she's just a nice person that cares about her community. So let's welcome Arlene Robinson.
Good evening, everyone. And truly excited to see all of you out today to support the first State of the City address. I am, most of you know, Arlene Robinson, the First Ward City Council member, and now the Vice Mayor for the City of Jackson. As you all know, I've served on the City Council, as our MC indicated, since 2013. I'm very excited to do what I do and love what I do, and wanted to just advise you that, you know, I'm honored this evening to address the efforts in the city of Jackson. I've been a part of this for 4 years now and seen a lot of changes in our downtown area. But I want to respectfully say that Derek, who is our mayor, I had an opportunity to work with him a little bit more last year, and want you to know that I'm excited that he is interested in the whole city, and especially in Ward 1. We've had a lot of homes come down in the area, but I'm very, very excited about the fact that he actually listened to me when I addressed, along with other members of the NAACP, addressed the issues in the city-owned building in First Ward. So I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to the renovations that will come to King Center, the effect of bringing down the fence, changing the look, giving our director, John Willis, who's been very supportive of me since I've served on the council, an actual office, a new kitchen so that the people of that community can serve their food. So just to say, I'm going to be closing out, but I wanted to say that I'm excited about that, and I really want Ward 1 to get excited. I know it seems like there are times that things are slow going, but we are working towards bringing the improvements into the community, and very excited that Patrick Birch and Derek and other council members are in support of doing something positive in Ward 1 with the city-owned building that we have there and making that change. I'm hoping that that passes through to my constituents in the area, the business owners, to give them more interest, and let's take some pride in the communities that we serve. There's also things going over on, over in Ward 2, Freddie Danstey's area with that recreation center. So these are things and stakes that the city of Jackson have in the communities around the city. And so just be excited about it. Please just join us. I'm willing to listen, to hear what you say, because I think we have a team of city council members, the mayor, city government, city leaders, staff that are listening to us now and really have an interest in improving the neighborhoods. I'm so excited to see them come outside of downtown to get started on the improvements we need in the other parts of the city of Jackson. So starting with the city-owned buildings, I think is a big plus. And as I said, I wish and want every one of you, our constituents, citizens, to get excited about it. We're going to even work on the trail, bringing some lights into the city. I'm looking at trying to get a project of areas that are dark, and I know that the city manager and the mayor are very interested in assisting in that. So give us an opportunity to do what we need to do to help the neighborhoods, and let your voices be heard, because I try to represent you in the best way possible. And to get things done in the neighborhoods as you would like to see fit. In closing, I'd like to also mention that there's improvements coming into the city hall, more diversity. I'm excited about that. We have a couple of new staff members in some prestigious positions. So we have people, a new clerk, a new records, people in that area. So we are making improvements to improve diversity. Many of us in First Ward, we've seen it firsthand, but there's been the trainings with the Bridges Out of Poverty and other areas of training in the city hall. So I really feel that our city manager and our mayor are committed to the city of Jackson and the neighborhoods, not just downtown. So I want to say many thanks to all of you that came out tonight, to the residents, the constituents, the citizens of the city of Jackson. I'm glad that you're here, and I open my door windows to hear what it is that you want to see, and we will work towards that mark in neighborhoods as well. I want to thank our business owners for being supportive, and all the city staff for doing what you do to support us as city council members. With that, I'd like to close out with a big thank you to everyone tonight that helped put together the program. We appreciate you. We are listening, and we're moving forward. We're going to move Jackson forward. Thank you so much for coming.
All right. Just a couple quick things. It's still raining outside, so there's cupcakes here. Take a cupcake home. I mean, I'm talking about cups here. Just take them home. I want to tell everybody, thanks for respect tonight. There's, you know, this was really great. This is the type of audience you should have. You know, this, if we want to protest, we protest it in a respectful way, and I think it was fantastic and different things. I mean, we are so great in this community. I could go around this room. I know so many people in here that don't do so many great things out there and have such incredible, you know, just, I don't know, families to what they stand for and everything else. And that's what's great about this community. It really is. But it isn't just about Jackson. It's about the county, and it's like all the townships. When I look at us as one, I don't look at us as just being separate from them. And what's good for this community is good for the city and the county and everybody else out there. And wouldn't it be great at the end of the day if we were known for great collaboration and that we cared about each other and cared about our children in particular, because, you know, the children are everything. And it drives me crazy to think about a child that goes to school that, you know, has no hope and has to worry about food and has to worry about warmth and has to worry about the way they look and everything else on there. And they can't even dream. They can't be part of this world. They can't sit. They won't sit here because they don't know how to get there because they can't. And that's what we really got to be known for, is to help those children so they can go to bed at night and have this dream and wake up. So thanks for all of you. We really appreciate this audience. You're great. And go Jackson.